We've been talking a lot about gun violence here on the show. School shootings, home invasions, road rage incidents, workplace violence, drive-bys, and even riots are on the rise around our country. If you're concerned about your safety and that of your family, students, and coworkers, I want to tell you about a great new company in Texas, Armor Upfitters, founded by USMC combat veteran Billy Gibbons. Armor Upfitters manufactures bulletproof shields, curtains, and other ballistic protection products to keep you safe should you find yourself in an active shooter situation. Whether in your home, car, school, or office, Armor Upfitters has the protective gear you need to survive such a situation. They can even take your favorite family photo, your diploma, or even your state flag and turn it into a state-of-the-art bulletproof shield, a truly beautiful work of art you can hang on your wall for instant access anytime. Please visit armorupfitters.com, A-R-M-O-R, upfitters.com, and use code REGULARJOE to get your 10% discount today. Well, hello there, Joe Gigante, your regular Joe with you on this Open Line Friday. Now, I've got a little more sound I'll get to shortly here on this Pfizer Project Veritas behind-the-scenes video of Director of R&D for mRNA planning, by the way. So right in there, Jordan Tristan Walker in just a few moments here. But I also want you to know, yesterday, Joe Biden was out addressing the public. Despite record inflation, despite higher interest rates on home loans, car loans than we've seen in decades, despite increases in cost of living across the board, he wanted you to know that the economy is roaring. He's very proud of what he's accomplished. We'll get to that in just a little bit as well. But it is Open Line Friday. You get to pick the topic, and I will set the tone and the tempo when you dial 888-737-1737. Let's go to David calling out of Green Bay. Good morning, David. How are you?
Good morning, Joe. Nice to call in on Open Line Friday. Hey, on that Project Veritas thing, I think it's great work, and, you know, it's a great video, and it exposes a lot. But I think a big problem is, in today's world and in media, a lot of people won't see that video. Facebook isn't going to show it to you. It's going to get buried. I think we're getting to a point, Joe, where Facebook, Google, Twitter, and these platforms have become so big that there are really no substitutes for them anymore in the market. And when you fit that definition, you know, you become a utility. And I think the citizens in this country have to start asking their assembly and their senators to have Facebook regulated as a utility. So, you know, when we get put in Facebook jail or whatever, we're not, you know, at that point we would be appealing to the Public Service Commission. And, you know, the rules would be set. Because what's really happening is it's kind of like the Facebook decides, you know, you can talk to your mom, but, you know, you can't talk to regular Joe because we don't like what you talk about with him. And it's really starting to affect America and how we work. It affected the elections. And, you know, that's my overview on Project Veritas. I think it's great work. But the way things are right now, you know, not a lot of people will see that video. And I think we just have to start looking at some of these big platforms and having them regulated as utilities.
Well,
David,
let me just respond real quick. There is an effort right now in Congress by some Republicans that they want to look into the social media platforms and basically go after them for antitrust. And this gets into exactly what you're talking about, how they've suppressed certain information. It goes back to the Parler situation where you had Google, Apple, as well as the Amazon server department, all conspiring to take Parler out of the way because it was gaining so much. So the good news on that, David, is that there are people already working towards that. I just want to be sure you're aware of that. You're right on track, by the way. But I would also say there's always, that's why we have talk radio, Truth Social, others. But you're absolutely correct, and they are working on it. But I know you had a main point or main question. Go right ahead.
Okay, hey, my question was, I just wanted to see what you thought about this Republican National Committee election today, and Brian Schimming, our state chairman, our first paid state chairman, by the way, in the state of Wisconsin, deciding to support Rona Romney McDaniels, who, from my estimation, hasn't produced in the 2018, 20, or 22 election. I'm not in support of her. I just wanted to see what you thought on that. and what you thought about, you know, the Wisconsin chairman now being a paid position. I think that's going to add about three more feet to the swamp down in the Wow counties. But I'll just hang up and listen. I know you probably have a lot of people who want to call in today. Thanks.
Fair enough, David. I appreciate the call. So on the question of being paid, I'm going to start there because I may surprise people. I actually think it should be a paid position. Because one of the things that I've been around the party system my entire adult life, working in and around state party, the national party, states parties, and so forth. I think it should be a paid position, first of all, because then we have better recourse. One of the most common things I heard from previous chairmen, when you'd go and say, why aren't you doing this? Why isn't this getting done? Why aren't you focused here? And then, well, it's just a volunteer position. You know, I don't get paid for this. I've got to do this on top of it. So you, one of the ways you handle that is you make it a paid, just like any other job. You're being hired to do this. You're being paid to do this. We expect certain results, and we set the bar. And if you don't meet the, again, you have a job review, right? And within the state party system, those members of the state party are the ones that have, again, the greatest ability to exact the pressure necessary to make sure you have a chairman that's doing the job. So I actually don't equate with people receiving a salary with the swamp. I think that when you want the very best to lead efforts, you've got to be willing to pay them a salary. Now, I'm not saying Rhoda McDaniel, $410,000 a year, but you have to be willing to pay him a salary to do it. Because first and foremost, it is an important job, right? And you want them to be focused on the job. If you're asking someone to do a very important job and they've got to make it a priority, but at the same time, they've done one, two, three other things to put food on the table, take care of their own selves and their own families, I don't think that's a fair ask. I think we've got to be willing to put our money where our mouth is in terms of what we want. So I have no problem paying a state chair, but I also think that, you know, it comes with the strings. The strings in this case are we have the ability to exert our influence over them to, as a job review. Are you, here's the bar, are you making the bar? And if you aren't, well, good, then we'll find somebody that will, and we'll pay them. I think that's a mindset, by the way, within the, and I'm not saying you, David, I'm just saying in general, there's a mindset within the conservative philosophy and movement that people should just do this and go do something to make money. And this is where we lose in part. You look at what George Soros and all of the big financiers on the left do. They pay top dollar to hire people to do nothing but X, Y, and Z. They pay people higher salaries than some of these paid positions get within the party system on the Republican side to do nothing but go out and be professional disruptors, follow different politicians and public figures around to speaking events, create trouble for them, videotape them, try to get them, you know, with the gotcha moments, all that kind of stuff. And then we go, I don't know, why can't we do it? Because we're not even willing to pay people to do the big jobs, much less all these little tiny disruptor jobs. You go look what the Democrats pay for their web people, for their marketing people, for all the, they pay six-figure salaries without a blink of an eye. And what they get in return, by the way, are hard work, believe it or not, hardworking, effective professionals that get the job done. We've got to be willing to go toe-to-toe on that. So I don't have a problem with the salary. And I've met Brian Schimming probably a half dozen or so, maybe a dozen times. We cross paths at a lot of these events. He seems like a very nice guy. I don't know him, you know, super well, but what I know of him, he's a very nice guy. I think he holds some pretty solid conservative points of view. In terms of his pick on between Harmeet Dhillon and, I love, by the way, that you refer to her as Rhoda Romney McDaniel. She is a Romney, so it's not untrue. I just love the nickname. I don't support McDaniels. I don't think she's been a good chair. I think Harmeet Dhillon would be a much better choice. I think, for that matter, Mike Lindell would be a much better choice. Lindell doesn't have much traction, but he's one of the other people trying to challenge her for that leadership role. So I think that Harmeet Dhillon would be the best choice in terms of who I think would go in, kick some tail, and get things done. Now, understand, for Schimming and some of these others, he hasn't made an official endorsement, but Trump is still, he put McDaniels in that role, McDaniel in that role, and he still supports her in that role. All reports are, and let me be clear, if Donald Trump didn't want her to still be there, I mean, Harmeet Dhillon was one of his lawyers. He would be making lots of noise to make sure everyone, the fact that he hasn't made a public statement and that, you know, the word, the kind of the quiet word coming out of his camp is they still support Rona McDaniel. So, I mean, it's kind of hard to pick on Schimming if Donald Trump is still supporting McDaniel. The bottom line is everyone gets to make their choice. Why do I can't pretend that I know why, but I did read some of the articles, The Hill, CBS News, some of these places that are reporting on it. And when I read the quotes of what's being said in terms of publicly being said in statements of why they support her, you know, there's things like, oh, she's a uniter, she'll work. Remember, they have the RNC convention coming to the state of Wisconsin in 2024. I suspect that these public statements, which are released this week, because McDaniel has a pretty serious challenge in Harmeet Dillon. So I suspect she went to some people saying, look, I need your support. And as goes in the political world, there's probably a conversation going, all right, but we need your help too. If you're going to be the chair, you know, what are we going to do to make sure Wisconsin wins? The other person in the Hill newspaper, they highlight Schimming and the Vermont Republican chairman, Paul Dame. And I'm sure there's, well, what we need to do X, Y, and Z. So I think at the end of the day, you have people, they have to make a prudential choice of which person they want. They certainly have cover from the point of view that this is the person that Trump has continued to back. And I think they're looking at the fact that by supporting the incumbent, they're sewing up good support for their state, which I'm sure in their calculus is what they're there to do, right? They want to make sure that the state of Wisconsin, or if you're the Vermont chair or whatever it is, that you're going to get the most favored nation status, if you will, out of the federal party, out of the national party, and they're just trying to sew that up. And so, again, I've not talked to Brian about it. I'm just making an educated guess on the public statements and how things have been playing out. I think it comes down to the fact that they think she'll win. So, you know, you don't want to be the state chair that's backing the person you think's going to lose. So I think it comes down to that. I personally would have made a different choice. But, you know, I think at this point, this is one of those things where there's been some pretty big endorsements. Harmeet Dillon got endorsed just recently by Ron DeSantis. So you kind of have that squared off too. You have DeSantis versus Trump in the sense of McDaniel versus Dillon. But again, I think Dillon is the clear choice of someone that can get in there with the right ideas and get things done. I think Lindell would still be better than McDaniel, certainly more conservative. And I think McDaniel hasn't done a good job, but we'll find out. The vote is today, so we'll know soon enough. I appreciate the call very much. But again, on the paying part, I'm all for paying people. I think that's something we need to do and not be afraid to do it as well. All right, so let's see. We have to update the board here. Let's go to Petey on line one. Hello, Petey. How are you today?
Doing well, Joe. Doing well.
What do you got for me, sir, on this Open Line Friday?
Well, a little change of pace.
Sure.
We've been discussing for the last several months or longer about the January 6th committee. Well, here's something we haven't heard about. I would like if you or some of the listeners out there would know any more information. Whatever happened with the 3, 4, or 5 police officers from that Washington bureau that committed suicide all of a sudden after this? Everything went quiet on that. I'm kind of curious what, if anything is out there, anybody knows anything about any follow-up on this.
Well, I mean, I was just going to say on that front, I mean, the left has tried to paint a narrative that they actually count these officers that committed suicide as people that were killed. When you hear them talk about it, they'll refer to them as though it was definitely because of January 6th, and it's all conservatives' fault, basically. I don't think, again, I've not seen anything beyond just the reports that they committed suicide. And let me be clear on something with this, Petey. I mean, I have a brother that was in law enforcement for 24 years, 22 as a homicide detective in Baltimore City. So he saw some ugly things in his career. My sister-in-law is still an active police officer. I've got nieces and nephews in law enforcement as well. So I'm pretty familiar with the stresses. And the suicides themselves are always tragic. Anytime you have someone committing suicide, terrible tragedy. And I imagine much of it had to do with not just an incident, but just the preponderance of things that have been going on. It's very difficult to be in law enforcement in the past several years. They've been pillared. They've been attacked by the left. You have a situation like January 6th, which has been badly mistreated from a political point of view. And I suspect that you're dealing in situations where, you know, it's a situation where they got to a breaking point, as tragic as it is. I don't know that we can pin it to any specific thing, in the sense that I don't think it's they were so upset over January 6th. I don't know that it's anything nefarious either. I think you're dealing with people that every day they get up and do a job where they know going to do that job, it could be their last day. It could be a job they don't come home from. And then you have the rioting side of things that happened, which should not have happened. You have that, then you add that political element in, where all of a sudden the people that were telling them that they're evil and they suck are now saying, now, you know, trotting out as though they're their best friends in the world. And there's a lot of pressure and anxiety, and it can lead to depression in people. And unfortunately, when that goes untreated, you have these situations. And I think it's just, I think it's a tragic after effect of the lack of respect, by and large, that law enforcement has received, and primarily at the hands of the left. And I'm not blaming them for this particular thing, but I think that would be my take, at least, Petey.
Okay, that explains a lot there, because I'm just curious, with all of them being from the same department, all happening with like a 2 or 3 month span. And then my second follow-up to the Harmy Dillon candidate, mm-hmm. I've been watching her for several years on Fox, and she is an outstanding lawyer, and I think she'd be a great candidate. Been listening and following her for the last couple of years.
You know what? I agree.
Your comments off there.
I appreciate it, Petey. You have a great weekend, sir. Appreciate you being part of it. I will give you those comments when I get back, but I agree. I think she's been, every time I've seen her out in public, her work as a lawyer, you know, distilling down the things that have been going on, whether it be election integrity, any number of topics that she's covered, she's always been spot on, and she seems rather fearless, and we could use that as well.
The Regular Joe Show.